We are in the last stretch of Ramadan. How did that happen? I don't know. It feels like Ramadan just started and it's shortly going to end. In the last third, it is the last 10 nights. It is the night of power. It is the most important part of, you know, other than the beginning when we were first really excited. And as some of us are feeling like we're losing steam and some of us are just trying to, you know, grab the excitement, we're going to talk today about the most important things you must be doing in these 10 days. And not only that, how about why they're important, what they can do for your life, so you can understand what that is, so you can be excited about it and actually get yourself to do it, even when you're too tired or you just feel like giving up. All right, let's go. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the podcast. So good to be with you in these last 10 nights, spending them together, just you and I. And alhamdulillah, you know, so proud of so many of you and the work that you've done. And I am so excited to talk about what we can do to make the best of these 10 nights, no matter how the rest of your Ramadan has been. And by the time you're done with this podcast, you're going to hopefully walk away with exactly why you should care about Laylatul Qadr. Like, I know we're told to care, but I want you to actually care because you care, not because you're meant to feel like you're supposed to care because it's the Muslim thing to do. I want you to actually feel like, yeah, I want to do that. Yeah, I need that in my life. And then on top of that, what are the 10 things, not the 10 things, sorry, some of the most powerful things that you could be doing in these last 10 nights. You know, this is like the thing on YouTube everywhere, like 10 nights, what should you be doing? But I mean, I'm sharing from my personal experience as somebody who is a woman that has to do all the womanly things. Like, we could hear it from all types of scholars, but once you've heard it from the scholars and then applied it to your life and found out what actually works and is easy to do and like what's the hack on that, like that's, I guess, what I'm bringing to the table, because I'm already aware, you know, I read just like everyone has read, I've listened, but like how do you actually apply that in a way where you could get real impact in your life in a way that's realistic, like knowing that, yeah, I still have to clean piles of dishes. It's not like I'm going to be sitting, you know, on the floor with my dhikr beads, like no one's going to talk to me. I'm going to have children like rolling over my face and like, you know, I'm going to have like responsibilities of work or studies, like in a real world, like what does that look like in a schedule? I'm going to share with you the schedule of myself, my husband, my kids. I kind of like what I do. So that way it could be realistic to you and just give you some really, really powerful suggestions and help based on what I know women struggle with year after year. So I hope that really helps. And if that sounds good to you, keep listening. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, make sure you are, so that whenever we have new series coming out, like after Ramadan, we'll do more on life balance. If you need some of that, I know a lot of us do. And relationships, we're going to be covering a ton of that. So definitely, definitely make sure you're here. All right, so let's get started. Laylatul Qadr, I'm going to start off with a story because my husband was sitting after we were doing iftar just the other night and he was saying, oh, I want to tell you this amazing thing. You know, like we both listen to lectures on our own and then we share with each other like reminders so that we can like inspire the other one. And I saw after he had gotten this reminder in particular, like a little bit more, let's say, pep in his step type of a thing. Like he was trying a bit harder, so it really did inspire him. And it was a great reminder, so I thought I would share this one with you. SubhanAllah, you know, those are these reasons why we should have Laylatul Qadr. You know, we should try to get it because we are knowing that we will get our sins forgiven from the previous year. And for the year to come, it's almost like setting up your entire scene, right? The way the angels will come and record what is happening for that person in the year to come. So for all of us who are struggling, we want better in our life, and we're making dua all year. Oh Allah, help my relationship. Oh Allah, my finances are messed up. I need money. Oh Allah, you know, I'm struggling with this mental health issue. Oh Allah, you know, my weight is like this. My kids are like that. All of us, we have things that we're struggling with and then making all this dua. But in this one night, we can set ourselves up. And imagine if that was your reset every year, right? It was like your personal investment. You know, people have like investment services, bankers and stuff. What if that was your investment, right? How people have like 401ks. What was that? Like every year you come, you seek out and try your hardest, you catch Laylatul Qadr, and you're set up for that next upcoming year. And the next Ramadan, you do the same and the same and the same. And that's like our preemptive, you know, practice for the next year and setting yourself up. So that's the way we try to look at it, right? But sometimes you need some motivation. So my husband was like, oh, you know, the Mashiach was saying when they were talking about, you know, in the when they say Laylatul Qadr, if you catch it, is better than 1,000 nights. He goes, did you know that in the time of the Sahaba, like 1,000 was a big number to them? And I think we forget that. Like, you ever had like that relative that was like, when I was young, you know, it was like 10 cents to go to the movies. And we're like, 10 cents? It's like 20 something US dollars right now. It's ridiculous. You can't even fathom what like money meant to people back then when numbers were less. Because we have ridiculous numbers right now. We have YouTubers like make 1 million, make 7 figures, 8 figures, 9 figures, as if this stuff is the norm. But FYI, it's not. So if you're not making $1 million, there's nothing wrong with you. Anyway, in the time of the Sahaba, 1,000 was like infinite. It was like 1 million, 1 billion, 1 trillion. It was like stuff people can't even put a finger on because it's so big. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying it's greater than 1,000 months, to us right now, you know, in the U.S., you know, it costs a couple thousand for a mortgage on a house. Maybe you make 1,000 at your job in a week or 2 weeks. You know, that's like something that we can see that number on a regular basis. But in the time of the Sahaba, they didn't. Like 1,000 camels, like people, that's like crazy if you have 1,000 camels. That's like that millionaire on the hill. You know, like people didn't see that number in their daily life. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying it to them, he's saying it's going to be big. It's going to be more than you can fathom. It's going to be infinite. It's going to be huge. And they were like in awe. You know, now we hear 1,000 months, we're like, 1,000. And I'm not trying to say that we all downplay it, but I'm saying in proportion to our time, what is Allah really saying? He's saying something huge. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, catch for you, Sister Maryam, Sister Sara, Sister Khadija, whoever you are, right? Catch this, it's worth X amount of months. He means like millions, trillions in this present day time. Unfathomable. Amazing. Something you just like, the return is like, who wouldn't want that? So I want you to put that in your mind when you're thinking of catching this. It's like everything you ever wanted. And here's the thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets you up for the dunya and the akhirah. So he sets your affairs right. And you know, this one brother, he was giving the example the other day of like things you should be doing in Ramadan. I'm going to mention this too in a minute. Astaghfar is huge in this time. Salah and Astaghfar. Yeah, this is the month of Quran. We've been reading a lot of Quran and you should still. But I'm going to talk to you about kind of like how I'm incorporating some things in my family and give you my schedule right now. And inshallah ta'ala, I hope it helps you and you can start thinking about maybe how you could do some of these things in your own without copying my schedule. I'm not saying to do that because Allahu alam, I'm not the best of people. I'm just myself. I'm just a sister trying to do well by herself, her family, and the world. But I'm just trying to say that because I know what the scholars suggest to us, I'm showing you how I've applied it into my day to give you an example of how you might be able to do it and put a tweak on it based on whatever you think works for you. All right, so for example, before, you know, we are doing ibadah as much as we can in our house. And our kids, they're fasting, alhamdulillah. The smallest in our house are 8 and 12. They've been fasting 100% the whole Ramadan. And, you know, we don't put pressure on them. We make it so communal. We make it such a family event. They just want to be part of it. They just feel left out if they're not. And that's really, really what drives them. And so, alhamdulillah, I really feel so, so proud of them because they've done a really, really great job. And we make fasting a very serious thing in our house. Like, it's not optional if you break your fast. Like, we tell them, like, you go into it like, I'm not breaking my fast. You know, if you're small, you're a kid and you have to break your fast, okay. But you never go in like, I'll just break it whenever I feel. We train them from young that fasting is something like you go into that commitment as if you're going to finish it. And if something happens, okay. But you don't go in as if it's like a havesy. And I really, really suggest that for adults too, because it's really hard to fast if you always think you have the option to break it at any hour. That would just drive me crazy. I'd be like, you know, feeling so wishy-washy. So alhamdulillah, they're doing that. Communal in the house. We pray. We pray in Jama'ah in the house. I'm just telling you like pre-10 nights. We pray in Jama'ah in the house. We're wake up for Sahur, all of us together. We drive to the masjid together. Not every night. We used to do it every single night when we lived 6 minutes from the masjid. But in our new location, that doesn't really permit. We live like 25 minutes now and it's really, really crowded parking. You have to get there an hour early. So now maybe we do 3 out of 7 or something like that. And we read Quran in the house a couple times a day, the kids too. But we do work full time, and I do homeschool full time. And then, you know, I have children, a lot of children. So I have older ones. So I'm a grandma. So sometimes I'm helping my older ones. Like, we have a lot of responsibility. My point is, our day is full. And sometimes our kids have classes. They have classes outside. They have classes for Quran. They have crochet classes, basketball classes. You know, like life is full. That's my point. Like, I'm not sitting around all day like nothing I have to do. So that's like during Ramadan, right? So last 10 nights, what am I doing differently? So here's the thing. I want you to imagine that you're taking everything you're already doing, you're just like bumping it up by 10%. And that's what we do with our kids. We sit down in the last 10 nights. We say, hey guys, so listen, it's the last 10 nights. Whatever you were doing before, you're just going to bump it up a little and try to do that consistently the whole time. Just push it to the end. So I'll turn to my daughter. What are you going to bump up? And she's like, well, I've been trying to do this, so I'm going to bump up this. Okay, good. That's a plan. Everybody support her in that plan. Turn to my son. What are you going to do? He's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. So you can go around with your kids and get them hype. Get them understanding that these are the last 10 nights. We're all going to be trying harder. If mommy forgets, remind mommy. If mommy's going to remind you. Make this communal thing. Now, if you're someone who doesn't have that in your house with other people around you, that's okay. You can have friends. Like in Thrive Muslima, that's what we do. We have entire groups in there. We have challenges. We have revert channels. We have, you know, full-on discussion channels, reminder channels, announcement channels. We have like whatever people want to like get themselves, you know, reminding. And obviously, oh, the other cool thing we're doing, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, Sister Saida, if you're listening, shout out to you. I mean, all the sisters, oh my gosh, so many amazing speakers and hosts and behind the scene women. But she decided to do English every single night. So they're reading three juz of English in the Quran. I think they chose from the clear Quran. Every night from now until the end of, you know, so all the women, they gather together and they hang out. So like, find your space, find your people. It doesn't have to be in your house if you don't have that. That's my point. So anyway, so we're going in and we are doing something differently. So now this is what I'm doing. So first of all, in the daytime, I'm trying to up my reading. If I was reading Quran three pages, I'm trying to read an extra page or two. Or if I was reciting, you know, whatever it is, and making numbers up, 50 lines, I'm doing 70 or 60. I'm just bumping it up by 10 to 20% on individual things I'm doing, right? I'm not doing anything extreme because that doesn't work, okay? Oh, I'm praying like, should I do like 2 rakah? I'm praying like 20 rakah at night. If you want, that's fine. I bet you're not going to be consistent though. So I'm talking about consistent. It's better. So alhamdulillah, like that. Then in the nighttime, my husband and I, we break fast with the kids, blah, blah, blah. Then instead of doing, sometimes we'll have a little family time, usually for an hour, just let the kids, you know, decompress, you know, play a game with them. So just like to get them feel like family time. We don't do that in the last 10 nights. The last 10 nights we turn and we will engage in some type of a special lesson, or we'll just go to our corners and, you know, do more of learning or Quran, like bumping up the time, just an extra 30 minutes or something, just extra something else, just to dedicate the time. Then we'll still have a little bit relaxed time. But for the most part, we're just like bumping it up a little, right? Then, alhamdulillah, we put the kids to bed and we pray. And if we were going to pray before 4 rakah or 8 rakah, maybe we'll add another 2 or 4 rakah extra. Then we go to bed. Not like just 10%, 20% on each thing we're individually doing. Okay? Then we're going to go to bed. Alhamdulillah. We don't want to miss the last third of the night. So then we're going to wake up. And normally I'm waking up. And my least favorite thing in all of Ramadan, it's like no secret in my house, is making suhoor. And I always make so many different things. Just because my kids love it. My kids love it. They look forward to it. Today we're going to have this. Then tomorrow we're going to have that. Like, I put a different thing for them to have a surprise that they wake up to every day. I don't do crazy madness, you know, but I just like mix it up, let's just say, right? And I'm not saying you have to do that. I just choose to do that because I'm like making memories for my kids. My kids always remember the suhoors and stuff. Anyway, so normally I would wake up at 4:20, let's say, and do suhoor. And when we were going to have fajr by like 5:20. My husband likes to like not be rushed when he eats. He wants to drink his coffee. He wants to do it. Okay, fine. So now instead of that, I'm bumping it up and maybe I'm waking up at 3:30 or 3:40 or whatever it is. Like, depending on the day. If I do earlier, I'm doing earlier. But that's like the non-negotiable. Like, no, you know, later than that, I have to get up. And I do go in the living room and I pray extra rakah and I make a lot of dua in the deep night for all of my kids, my family, the world, you guys, everybody, right? Then I go and I do the suhoor and then we have the fajr. And then whatever I would normally do after the Fajr, I just bump it up by 10%. Like if I was going to read this much Quran, I'll read a little bit more. If I was going to learn this lesson from the Sheikh that I have a regular studies, I will do like an extra 20 minutes. And that's it. And then I will maybe go take a nap, back to bed, wake up again and start work in school. So my point is, I'm taking everything that I normally would do and I just bump it up by 10, 20%. Do you get me? Now, I want you to add up all those percents. I'm doing 10, 20 here, 10, 20 there, 10, 20 there. Now it looks like I'm doing 100% more than before. But actually, I'm just doing 10% in every aspect. And even if that's too much for you, right? 5%, okay. But the point is, a little bit more. A little bit more. That's all you have to do. Now, that being said, is my schedule. I'll tell you some things I want you to do mentally. Number one, I want you to think about this is taking a vacation for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mentally, physically, spiritually. You are not finding anything more important than this right now. This is your chance to set up 2025, whatever the next year is going to be when you listen to this. You know, alhamdulillah, why would we lose that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us that. And by the way, if you're so ashamed of the way you've done the rest of Ramadan, can you let that go? No, I'm serious. You need to let that go. Permission to let your negative emotions go. Because the way you think about yourself is not the way Allah thinks about you. No, He probably thinks about me worse. No, He doesn't, actually. He's more merciful to us than we are to ourselves. So, stop thinking about He doesn't accept your dua because you're a sinner, because you're a blah, blah, blah. Just cut that out. Because I already know a lot of people are doing that. And that's like a little, that's your qareen, maybe your little mini shaitan. He wants you to like lose your whole last 10 days. Just say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghafur irheem. He's the most forgiving. He's the most merciful. He's the most everything. And you could say all His names. And alhamdulillah, He's more than you can ever imagine. And He loves you more than you can imagine. And you are His creation. Have you ever made something? Have you ever made something like, and you're just so proud of it, you made it, and you're like, oh my gosh, I made this thing and I worked so hard on it? Allah made you. You are something He crafted. He fashioned it. And while you can see all your mistakes, He sees all that He loves about what He made. And so He's happy for you to do well, and He's excited, and He doesn't, it's like, you know, when you think parents for their kids, they look at them and all their imperfections and they just love them. It's like this love more than the parent, right? SubhanAllah. So anyway, you're going to take a mental vacation, physical, spiritual. If you have work, okay, just give work less of your effort. I'm not saying slack. I'm not saying be a bad person. I'm not saying be lazy. I'm saying if you're normally a career-driven person, don't be. And I know that's going to be really hard to do. And this coming from a person who used to have a life like that, so I totally get it. But you just really need to. It's not more important. Tomorrow they're going to replace you with anybody else. Believe me, that's just how it works. You're going to give your whole life to a company and they're going to replace you in 10 seconds if something happens to you or you know, like just really, really, it's not worth it. So alhamdulillah, the best investment is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're going to just spend less time. If you're able to take a day off of work or two, do it. Get an extended weekend. Take off Friday. Take off Monday. Make it like a little i'tikaf in your house. Now, if you're able to go to i'tikaf in the masjid, for those who don't know that sleeping in the masjid for 10 days, you don't really leave, then that's great. But if you're not, it's okay. You're a woman, you're not obligated. But if you can, it's better. Allah knows. That's why I love about our religion. He's so merciful. He knows it's hard for women, right? Dragging kids all around, doing stuff. No, it's okay. But in your house, you should have a different vibe, right? Set up a little corner for yourself with your books and your study and your basket. A little corner for prayer. Something a little special, a little different these last 10 nights. If you're not going to go to the masjid, that's your quiet time. The other thing is astaghfar. I want to say this one and probably one more and that's it. This was an amazing reminder I got when brother, he was talking about astaghfar. You ever see people in the masjid, astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. Like, he's saying like, what are you astaghfirullahing for? Right? What are you astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah? What are you being specific at all? When we make astaghfirullah, it's not meant to be ritualistic. I'm reading off of a book. I heard the Prophet did this. Okay, it's good. But when the Prophet did it, he did it with ikhlas. He did it with sincerity. He was talking to Allah. What is he sorry for? Right? So what if you did that instead? It would change everything. And when you make a real astaghfar, Allah increases your finances. He increases your relationships. He increases the peace in your heart. Like, you're going to see some real results. So I told you, I'm only sharing with you the things that are really, really helpful, which is like that 10% rule. I told you, just bump it up 10, 20% everywhere. And also a lot of istighfar. When you're doing this, like, oh Allah, I'm so ashamed. I'm so ashamed that I watched so much social media and I act like I don't have time for the Quran, but I really probably could have done more. Like, just be real, real with Allah and be really sorry for it. Oh Allah, I'm sorry. I keep trying to control my temper with my kids, but like, they're just driving me crazy and I just don't know what to do with it. And I know it's wrong what I did and what I said, but like, just help me and, you know, make it better and help me to be better. You know, like just come like that, astaghfirullah. Oh, astaghfirullah, Allah. You know, I wanted to give more zakat, but then I was just feeling like worried about like, what if I have to pay the insurance? And like be really real about your astaghfirullah. Like, I'm just making these up. Like, whatever your situation is, right? And alhamdulillah, when it comes to the salah, if you can have more focus in it and more feeling and more sorriness, like more humility, this is what Allah wants. He wants the believer really sincere and just like being like real. Just be real. Don't come to Allah like you're doing salah like it's just like a thing you're supposed to do it. Come like Allah, like you're my savior. Like you're like gonna be like saving me from myself. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in the chest. One of the mashaykhs said, he says he has a 360 view. Can you imagine? As the thought is still formulating in your mind, he already sees it. He doesn't wait for the result of you to do the deed, negative or positive. He actually saw it as it was like coming up your chest or in your head. It was turning in your heart. It was moving, that you're reaching your hand. Like, he knows you every moment of the thing you're doing, like from every angle. It's crazy. Inside, outside, right, left, above you, to the left of you. So that's why there's that dua, oh Allah, you know, be the light in front of me, to the right of me, to the left of me. And subhanAllah, I love this. And at the end of the day, I want you to know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it's hard for you, but I want to give this last reminder. When you, a lot of people want to make salah, they feel like, oh, I want to feel something. I want to feel emotional. I should be crying. I should that. It's not a requirement of salah. For you to have Laylatul Qadr, for you to be accepted, it's not a requirement that you have to feel a special feeling. You have to cry special tears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He just wants you. He knows you're like on the way, like you're trying to get there. You're not there yet. So stop cutting yourself short before you even get accepted. But Allah already accepted you, maybe. And you're cutting yourself. So alhamdulillah, it's not a requirement for it to be accepted, for you to have all these things. If you have them, alhamdulillah, you can ask for them from Allah. But you're still a good person. And you're still a good Muslim if you're not there yet. All Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, we'd be shocked at how simple it is He just wants you to be continuously trying and making istighfar when you make a mistake and coming back and making istighfar and tawbah and coming back. That's it. Always striving and asking for forgiveness. So that should be the theme. And one last thing I forgot to tell you. When you make a lot of istighfar like that, when you're sitting with Allah alone, but you could also do it like while you're doing other stuff. If you play that dua, Allahumma, you know, like everybody knows this most famous dua that you make. Oh Allah, you're the most forgiving, forgive me. And you know, the one I love most famous, I shared it recently, was Omar Hussein. I think you look at this, is Omar Hussein's his name? You look it on, it's called The Last 10 Nights. The most beautiful, calming recitation. And he just says the same astaghfirullah over and over again. I'm washing the dishes. I'm wiping the tables. I just have it blasting in the house, keeping the vibe for the next 10 days, just over and over and over and over. Alhamdulillah. And I'm not picking a special night, the odd night, the even night. I might bump a little bit if I think it's an odd night, but I do it on every odd night. Because the truth is, nobody knows when the night is. You can hear a million special things about calculating numbers and stuff. Leave that, sisters, because the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like, think about it. If Allah knows that we know each day, we wouldn't try equally. We would just give up all of Ramadan and wait for that day. That wouldn't make any sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just wants to see who really is striving in this time. These 10 days are going to differentiate, like Al-Furqan, the ones who are really, really want it and the ones who don't. And you can do it. Like I said, just a little 10% bump up everywhere. You're good. Put it in your mind. Get your family hyped. Get everybody on the same page. If you're doing it alone, it's fine. There's plenty of sisters and places where you could be with. We're always here for you. And alhamdulillah, the last thing I want to say is the reverse. It's really, really hard for them. And you know, when we made Thrive Muslima, like the International Sisterhood, we made it because we understand that, like, it's really easy for me to be like, oh, go to their local mosque, like, find a sisters around you. You know how many sisters try to do that and they just literally cannot. And they don't have, like, there's sometimes people call us from, like, Mexico. There are sisters in Mexico who have told me the closest masjid is 100 miles. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Or they're in Germany. They're in France. I get a lot of sisters who are studying abroad, right? Shout out to all those sisters too. So like, there is just not a community here. Sometimes I get that from Australia too, just not a community here. And I get it. And I know, because I've heard all your situations for years. And so when we made that international community, we made it for real because we knew that I didn't want to be like, you know, suggesting unrealistic things to people. Because I hate when people do that to me. Yeah. Just do this. Like, yeah, it's not going to happen. So this is real. There are women there. Even tonight, I think there's like I said, they're doing English recitation. They're doing Arabic recitations. So we have a lot going on. But alhamdulillah, no matter what it is, Reavers, it's hard for them because they feel alone. We have Eid celebration this year. We have meeting each other. We dress up. We do competitions. We have fun together. You don't have to be alone. Alhamdulillah. I want you to know we're really dedicated to making sure the things that women actually struggle with, they know somebody cares and has created a solution for them, because it's hard. If you want to learn more about what we do outside of the podcast, you could always check it out. All of our resources, free classes, everything, www.mindful-muslim.com. And if you feel so inclined, sister, we have a donation button there. If you press it on the website, we are helping reverts to get resources. We're giving out shahada boxes. We're giving out Qur'ans. We're giving out hijabs. We're giving out, we have a lot of women who come to us, they make shahada with us, or they have just made shahada and they have nothing. And they're coming from really tight financial situations. If you want to be somebody who is a healer and a helper of reverts, we really, really implore you. Just literally go to www.mindful-muslim.com. Up in the top, you will find the donate button and you will see different ways you can pick. You could pick to give them counseling, to give them classes, to give them whatever you want. We are truly need to create a resource hub because people make shahada and then, I'm sorry, the ummah ditches them. I have women who have been just completely, they've gone from mosque to mosque and got turned away. They got turned away. They were just like, we can't help you. We don't do that here. And they're going into even homeless shelters. Then they're getting robbed in there. They're like, where are the Muslims? I thought when I became Muslim, they were going to help me. So this is really a real problem. 93% of reverts have no support. 93%. We ditch them. A'udhu billah. It is so heartbreaking. So if you go there, you will find a place to donate. And alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and give you ease. And when you may bring ease in someone else's life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings ease in your life. So I just want to say thank you in advance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you afia for all of the goodness that you give for our sisters. And looking forward to see you on the next podcast. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.